And you are now tuned in to My Skin Is My Sin presents Intellectually Petty Radio, episode 8. We got a good one tonight. We got a good one tonight. We got the real Grandmaster J in the building. What's good, King? How you doing?
I'm still black, bro. I'm still black.
That's a blessing right there, bro.
I ain't trying to have to be black no time soon. I want to thank you for letting me come down and hang out with you for a little bit so two brothers can chop and build it up in this season that we're in. But I'm glad to be here. And on behalf of all of the members of the Not Fucking Around Coalition, we bid you hello and shalom.
The Not Fucking Around Coalition. Who came up with the name, bro?
I did.
I love that. I love that, man. And how's life, man? How's your family? You healthy? Everything good?
Family is good. Life is good. It's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be able to participate in a lot of the things that's going on that people going to read about years from now. It's a great time to be alive. And it's also a good time to be black.
Absolutely. Anytime is a good time to be black. But
I wouldn't say that, bro, because for the last 400 years, it hasn't been a good time to be black. For the last 400 years, we've been enslaved. We've been through Reconstruction. We've been through lynching. We've been through the Jim Crow era. We've been through the Civil Rights era. We've been through the crack era. And now we're going through the redneck rise, make America again, take you back to 1966. We not having it era. So it ain't really been a good time to be black. That's why when they say make America great again, we say, when was it great for us?
I would agree with you on that one. Tell us about July the 4th. Let's get into that. Because if you don't know, like, this is the brother that put together, in fact, No Fucking Around Coalition, orchestrated the formation and just a beautiful, beautiful display of the unity of our people, what we could be.
The Not Fucking Around Coalition was actually born last year. It is a consensus of law-abiding black people in America who feel that, you know, we deserve a fair shake just like everybody else. And we got tired of watching what we saw happening. We got tired of watching the inequality. We got tired of watching the police-involved shootings. We got tired of watching so-called black leaders who claimed they was going to lead us somewhere, lead us nowhere. And most importantly, we got sick and tired of watching our people taking rainbows and signs to a gunfight. So last year, if you remember, there was a situation in Dayton, North Carolina, where the Ku Klux Klan decided that they were going to march into Dayton with guns, even though the city said they didn't want them there. They weren't even from Ohio. They were from Indiana. So the governor went on TV and said, well, it's an open carry state. Well, since y'all bringing guns to our city, guess what? I'm telling every citizen out there, if you want to bring yours too, bring them things out. And when I got the phone call, I was in Louisiana and they told me what was happening. I said, I couldn't wait to call the brothers up and say, let's get them toys out and go see them boys. So we got together, pulled up in Dayton. They had never seen nothing like it. We weren't as large as we are now. We were still kind of small, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we rolled in there, and we didn't come in there to march. We didn't come in there to sing. Matter of fact, the video is on my IGTV if you go watch it. We pulled up on the KKK. And when we pulled up, somebody asked me, what's all the guns for? Why y'all coming in here like y'all the military? And I had to let them know, because we don't want history to repeat itself. They said, what you talking about? Mm-hmm. I said, y'all don't remember back in 1979 when there was a protest and the KKK pulled up and pulled out guns and killed 8 people on TV. Nobody went to jail. The police didn't do nothing about it. And it was a setup and the people didn't have guns. We just wanted to make sure, since they was bringing guns, that if any ideas crossed their mind, that we gonna shoot back. So we came to protect the people. When they saw that, they left. When that happened, that's when we said the next time something like this happened, we're going to be ready. And between that time, we had the COVID-19 happen. So, you know, that shut everything down. Everybody went on house arrest. Everybody in the house. Ain't nothing going on. No more football games. No more strip clubs. No clubs. No jobs. No nothing. Everybody in the house. So I look at that as ground zero. Everything reset itself, right? Mm-hmm. We came out of the quarantine. thinking that the only thing that we had to worry about was whether or not we was going to catch COVID-19 or keep our job. That's all we thought we had to worry about. We thought everybody was on one page, but it turns out to us that there was some stuff that had happened right before the quarantine that they tried to cover up. Ahmaud Arbery was the very first one. They hunted this boy down like he was an animal, and then they shot and killed him down there in Brunswick, Georgia. Then they tried to cover it up. Then the white folks who was in charge of the place tried to cover it up. And then we didn't see nobody go down there and handle it the way it needed to be handled. We didn't need no singing. We didn't need no marching. We needed to kill them. So we made a couple of phone calls and said, it's time for the NFAC to step out. So what did we do? We went down to Brunswick, Georgia. Y'all remember the video. Bunch of armed brothers showed up. I had on a mask at the time. Y'all remember the famous line. I'm going to run through their neighborhood and see if they shoot me. And then we went into their neighborhood. And of course, y'all remember the video. We went into the neighborhood. We went to the McMichael's house. We went to the McBrien's house. And when we went down there, something didn't look right. We already told y'all that story. But what happened was the police came. And when they saw armed black people, they wouldn't even engage us, which was our way of showing the world that this is how you respond from now on. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right after that happened, George Floyd happened. And we sat back to see if the world had learned their lesson. They didn't. They came out doing the same old stuff, brusky, and they came out and they were doing the same old singing, the same old chants, waving signs, holding hands with the police. All that theatrics didn't change nothing. It didn't change no laws. It didn't get nobody locked up. All it did was they calmed us down. We saw that. We don't get out there and do that because we're not demonstrators. We're not protesters. We're none of that. We're a militia. And under the Constitution, we can exist. All them white boys y'all saw walking around with the bulletproof vests, had the machine guns and this, that, and the third, they were white militia. They were not trying to, are we here to protect y'all? We don't believe that because we see people getting lynched. We don't believe that because y'all ain't did nothing to the boys that did the shooting. We don't believe that. Breonna Taylor's people still walking around, so we don't believe none of that shit. So what did we do? We decided, look, y'all, we gonna show them who we really are.
Hey, hold on. Give me 1 second, Rick, real quick. I want to get my co-host to plug in online. My bad. I didn't mean to interrupt. What's good, bro? His audio should be loading up in just a second. And my bad, you know, to everybody that's listening out there. Again, my name is Jobs, and we are waiting on my co-host to plug to get in on the action. And we got, in fact, can I say in fact or do I have to say NFAC?
Nah, in fact.
Okay. In fact, leader, Grandmaster Jay, like that, you went from like I had not heard of you personally to superhero in a lot of people's minds overnight. How do you deal with that pressure?
It's no pressure. No pressure whatsoever. None? I mean, you got to realize a lot of folks who just became aware of me before the activism haven't done any research. You do your research, you'll find out that I've been in activism since 2015. Matter of fact, this award right here, if you can see it, matter of fact, you can see it so I can turn around that way. This is for all the work I did in 2015 with the Walter Scott case in South Carolina, Emmanuel 9 in Charleston, South Carolina with the Bridge to Peace, 33,000 people. See, I used to be into all of that protesting and stuff. I just realized that it did not work. It didn't change anything. And then the movement got hijacked by BLM. And we ain't gonna go into that. That's another story. So I fell back, ran for the presidency, 2016. Y'all didn't know that either because they had y'all under the brainwash. Oh, they done found all that out now. Then when Trump stole the presidency, I went back into hip hop, okay? Hooked up with my man, Chief Rocker, Busy B, and all the OGs in New York. And I was doing old school hip hop. It's all on IG, go check it out. But when this shit started, when they started bringing back that old school racism, stuff that I remember, all that other shit had to go to the side. And what was happening was it was bubbling up. It was bubbling up from under. It was coming. So I've been organizing, in fact, for a minute. The point of the matter was we don't make it public. We don't have to be out there telling y'all what we're doing. When you see us is when you saw us. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what we decided to do, our coming out to America, because things were getting real crazy. Y'all saw it was getting crazy. They were lynching people every day. Didn't nobody know nothing. People was getting shot. Didn't nobody know nothing. it was getting crazy out here. So it was time for us to show these people that black people are prepared to defend themselves, that we're prepared to look. Y'all ain't got to stop being so scary.
I'm not sure what happened. It just muted you.
Damn phone. I'm talking right now. I hate people that do that. Sorry about that, y'all.
Okay. I thought I did that. I'm over here like sweating bullets.
Some people just want my attention. So anyway,
I'm not mad at that.
Listen to me, my brother. When we did Brunswick was the start of the pressure that you talk about. Because when people figured out who it was under the mask, all of a sudden, they were coming to me about, yo, we want to join. I got something around. I'm gonna say the first couple of weeks after that, we went from maybe a three-figure number of members to five figures. I don't give out numbers, but we went to five figures. Okay. So now it's time for us to flex. And the way that we was gonna flex was we were gonna send a message that while y'all running around tearing down all these damn civil rights statues and flags, what about the biggest one of all? The place where the KKK was born, because in our mind, that is the core of all our problems. The police, the housing, all of that. That's coming from the racist part of America that is birthed and supported by the Ku Klux Klan. So we was gonna take it to their heart, Stone Mountain in Georgia. That's what we decided to do. Now, here's the catch.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of us doing that, my brother, they remember the threat came out? Don't nobody go away on the 4th. They're going to be out here shooting black people. We heard that. We don't respond. We don't scare. So we like, oh, it's like that. From what we understood, they always assembled in Stone Mountain for the 4th of July. So guess what? We got in touch with black businesses in Stone Mountain, which is a little town. And we said, we want to assemble a formation, not a march, not a protest, a formation. Anybody who's ever been in the military knows what a formation is. And we was going to take the formation and march it up to the mountain and take care of some business. Now, we didn't know who was going to be up there. We didn't know if we was going to get shot at. We didn't know what we was walking into. So you can listen to all this misinformation that's out there about, you know, they was out there, they was unprepared. No, we came to get it in, bro. We came to get it in. And when we did it, we made history. Because what most people don't realize is it was two marches. It was two formations. Okay,
let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this.
Stone Mountain, and one was in Phoenix, Arizona.
Let me ask you this. You take a lot of shit from a lot of folks that look like us. And I think the main concern that I saw that was said respectfully, I don't bother with the goofy shit, that was said respectfully, was the strategy of it for black people as a whole. Do you see any credence to that concern?
First of all, I'm gonna be real on your show, and I hope don't nobody take this the wrong way. And
talk your shit, bro.
I don't give a fuck about people who have an opinion. Who didn't get off their ass and come out there with us. I don't want to hear no couch criticisms about strategy when you ain't done shit. When what we did was abide by the Constitution. We have a constitutional right to carry arms. We have a constitutional right to peacefully assemble. We exercise our constitutional rights. We don't give a fuck about all you people sitting back who ain't did a goddamn thing but been sitting around talking all these years about you ready for the rah-rah. You ain't having it no more. No justice, no peace. And all you do is take your ass home and talk shit on a computer or tap some shit out of your phone. Don't talk to me until your ass was stood on the front lines. We didn't know what the fuck we was gonna walk into going up that hill. Thankfully enough, the police realized that they was outgunned. There were 1,500 of us. It wasn't but 19 cops in that whole town. And even after they called in the Georgia Patrol and the GBI that was trying to kill me, we still confronted those motherfuckers, and they backed down and became help. They became all nice and wanted to escort us. They closed the park and evacuated that motherfucker because they never seen nothing like that. Don't talk to me about your opinion until you show me otherwise. I don't want to hear that shit from you weak motherfuckers.
Talk that shit, bro. I love that. What's interesting is I saw a interview of the sheriff of that town, and dude was like, I got like 15 cops, bruh. Like, they had over X amount of people. Like, there's, you know, we're not going to talk to them about a permit. Like, they had us outnumbered. That was like, I've never heard that in my lifetime. And that was such a powerful interview for me. Like, I just, first off, I want to say thank you and tell you that it's a lot of us that's proud of you, bro.
Appreciate that, bro.
No doubt, man. You doing some shit, man, and you inspiring people, bro. Like, it was this the goal, or what's the end goal for you?
The end goal is what NFACT is really all about. NFACT is not just a black militia. NFACT is just one part of a master plan that, if you've ever read Destruction of the Black Race by Chancellor Williams, mm-hmm. he talks about the master plan. And anybody who wants to know what we're doing, just pick up a copy, because we're doing it right out of the book. And there's five pieces to the master plan for the liberation of all of us, that what you'd like to call African descendants of slavery, and anybody who's a melanated descent around the world. And that is for us to become the backbone and the military arm to protect our own people, to police our own people, to police the police that harass our own people, and to be a deterrent against anybody, white militia or anybody else, who decides they want to go to war with black folks. There's a whole progress, a whole program behind this, with this master plan, where in order for us to rebuild our own finances, because you hear that all the time, people want to, buy back the block, all that bullshit. But if you want to rebuild our education system and teach that our black history is not just 1619 to 1969, that there's 25 dynasties that happened before that, and that they don't give us credit for who we are in this world. If we want to rebuild any of those things, the first thing we have to do is be able to protect ourselves. Okay, we got to build some security around it. If ants invade your yard or your home, the first thing they do is send out soldier ants to form a perimeter to stop anybody from stopping them while they building what they building. So we are the soldier ants. They're circling around our tribe and our hive so that we can protect everybody, so we can get to the business of fixing ourselves. The ultimate goal of the NFAC is to become the black army, the black militia. That's our goal. I wasn't thinking about impressing nobody. I wasn't thinking about inspiring nobody. What I was trying to do was show America and the world that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again and getting the same, expecting a different result. Y'all in this marching shit is dead. This shit with sitting down and joy is dead. Here's the way you need to respond. And it took a while for them to catch on, but they're catching on. I see people strapping up everywhere now. I see people standing up for themselves everywhere now. I saw a homeless guy who hit me up and said, man, they ain't got nowhere to go. The NFAC members went out and fed him and gave him somewhere to live. We got to start unifying and loving on each other. That's what I was trying to inspire. And I see that it's catching on.
Shout out to you, man. And Rome, where you at, bro?
Yo, I'm here, man. Peace.
You sound like you're in the forest, man.
Not quite the forest. I'm here. You know, I'm letting the brother build, man. You know, peace, Grandmaster Jay. How you doing, man?
Shalom, my brother. How you doing?
Peace, man. Like, you know, I was letting y'all build, man. You know, I just want to let you know, man, we honored to have you on. Extremely proud of you, brother. Like, you are definitely inspiring thousands of us, man. I definitely appreciate you. I'm so glad you won tonight. I feel like everybody needs to hear everything that you got to say. You already answered most of my questions already, so I don't even really got much to say, to be honest.
Well, you know, I'm always inclined to build with the brothers, because like I told a few of my folks when we were about to go up Stone Mountain, if y'all saw the video, I told them we about to step into history. This is something you can tell your kids about. You can tell them I was there. You know, there's some older people that are on their way out of here, on their way to glory, that came up to me and said, thank you, because I thought I was going to leave this earth without seeing this happen again in my lifetime. We didn't plan it that way, but because of what they've done to us, they forced us into this particular situation. And now what has happened is people have awakened and realized that we got work to do. And now that the NFAC is alive and walking and talking, that coalition is growing by the day. I don't know if y'all missed the announcement yesterday, but yesterday we actually announced the alliance between the NFAC and the Pan-African French Resistance with my man Kimi Sebi. If you don't know who that is, do your research. And also the acknowledgement of the Black Riders out in LA, and also the addition of the Fred Hampton Gun Club. So we are growing by leaps and bounds as we build this Black militia all under the NFAC banner. And we got some more big big things coming up, so I'll talk about them later. But I want to answer the brother's question, if you don't mind. I didn't want to leave him hanging. When the decision was made to go up to Stone Mountain, it was first it was to send a message. But then it was to fight them if they truly thought they were going to start picking off black people. And like my man said, not only did we outnumber the cops in the town, we outnumbered the state police when they showed up. We outnumbered the Georgia Patrol when they showed up. And watch this. When the governor found out about it, he sent in 1,000 National Guards, and we still outnumbered them. So they realized that these, pardon my link, these motherfuckers got more guns than we can even have. So let's not even, don't poke that bear. Let's, because we don't know what these brothers are about, because we don't talk. We don't chant. We didn't sing. I'm the voice. You understand what I'm saying? That scared the shit out of white America, because we were organized. We was not a mob. And on top of that, we wasn't attacking nobody. Fuck what them white people said. Scared them to death. We made the headlines on police, Law Enforcement Times. The police had to publish. I had like, check this shit out, because it shook them to their core. You understand what I'm saying? So Department of Justice had to go tell Carrot Top, you know, the orange man that don't like us, we got a motherfucking problem. His ass went back into the fucking bunker. He'd been in the bunker so goddamn much, they had to hang his picture on the wall and put a bed in the motherfucker. Who was coming around his motherfucker next? Now, here's where the shit them just got off the meter. Here's why. Because when black people saw that, and if you notice, mainstream media won't touch that shit at all, because if they show America those images, it's going to empower everybody. But see, all the media outside of the United States has shown that shit. That's why the foreign people are going, oh, they finally woke up in America. They finally woke up in America. That's, so you have no idea how many people have been waiting for us to do some shit like that. And I'm going to tell y'all why. Because if we do some shit like that here, they see the opportunity to do to the United States what the United States has done to every other country. The United States goes into a country, picks somebody like us that don't like the motherfuckers that's in power, and give them everything that they wanted. Guns, planes, bombs, missile launchers, all kinds of shit, and call them freedom fighters. And all of a sudden, they fighting the government. That's what happened in Syria. But it's a lot of countries that they done did it to that already done reached out to us like, now, you know, we like that thing y'all doing. Y'all saw I got interviewed on the Russian news the other day. I've been on the Iranian news. I've been on Pakistan news. I've been on Bangladesh news. These are motherfuckers that would love to say, y'all need a little help. So in one day, we out there with AR-15s. The next day, we pulling up with choppers and AVRAPs and all kind of shit. So that's the position we're in right now, my brother.
So what's next, man?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. I don't know if y'all saw it on my live. If you go on my IG page, which is the official Grandmaster J, there's the playback from the meeting that happened today between NFAC and the Louisville State City Council, the police chief, and the mayor's office to tell us, what are you going to do about Breonna Taylor? Because we're not like those motherfuckers that came out yesterday. If we don't get some action on that, we're coming to your city. And after what we did in Stone Mountain, the response is going to be 10 times as big. I've already got 5,000 motherfuckers who already say, we ready to rock, let's do this. So we just had a meeting with them today and come to find out that it's the attorney general who's holding the whole process up. That's why nobody been arrested yet. So what I basically told them was, I need to talk to the attorney general, because can't none of you motherfuckers help us. We're not playing with y'all no more. They understood the significance of having this black militia come into Louisville. They don't want that. So the next move for us is, if they bring us back a favorable answer after we meet with the attorney general and somebody get put in some handcuffs, then we'll move on to what our next project is, which is the recruitment tour, as I go around the country and solidify all of the NFAC chapters that have formed. If that's the next move. But if they don't come back with the right answer, the next thing you're going to see is 5,000 to 15,000 of us black armed walking into Louisville, Kentucky.
That'll scare the planet, bro.
Just trying to get somebody. They kill that girl, bro. And for whatever the reason was, whether it was because of the gentrification plan that they found out, because of this hit squad that they made, don't make no difference. Hey, if it was one of us, if that had been a white girl that happened to,
done,
bro.
Bro, they burned that motherfucker down.
Goddamn quick, bro. Come on now.
Like they put the black cop in, was it Minnesota? They locked that nigga up in 24 minutes.
Hey, they didn't waste no time. They didn't waste no time. That shit was like this. This girl been gone over 100 days. Okay? So if you go and you watch the playback, because I don't want there to be nothing misconstrued. I don't want to catch nobody, say nobody lying. So we filmed the whole thing in its entirety. You can go watch it. And it's interesting if you listen to it, because everybody who was watching was like, they tap dancing. But they scared. You see, like Thomas Jefferson said, once you pick up a weapon, you go from being a subject to a citizen real quick. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You all of a sudden, you're not, we got the subject in custody. Now you, Mr. Johnson, what's the problem? You understand what I'm saying? It's a whole difference. So they see that on a scale that they've never done. Do you all not realize that what we did was bigger than the Black Panthers?
Absolutely.
I didn't think about that.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially, well, yeah. I usually can play devil's advocate, but I got nothing for that one. Yeah, facts. Wow, man. Like, they'll be talking to you. Are right, though, as far as the power of this moment cannot be underestimated, in my opinion. And it will grow as time goes on. Like, people are going to look back at this moment like when the Panthers hit the Statehouse. This is our generation's moment like that. And you surpassed it. Like, shout out to y'all. Well, you know, and I know I've said it a million times, man, but go ahead, Rome. It's your turn.
Let me say this to both my brothers here on here real quick. You know, it's funny you said that, because if you go and you look at history, and I had somebody who actually went and they brought this to my attention about the Panthers themselves, is that a lot of folks don't remember that what happened that actually kicked off the whole situation with the Panthers, as you just mentioned, was what happened at the State House. But the funny part about it, if you know the history of the Panthers, mm-hmm. whole thing is almost like what happened with us. You got to remember the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was founded in October 1966 by Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, who met at Merritt College in Oakland, California. Now, they was dedicated to revolutionary internationalism and armed self-defense of Black communities, just like we are. The Panthers initially operated in Oakland and Berkeley, then in San Francisco and in Richmond, California. Now, watch this. In May of 1967, that organization gained worldwide media attention when Seal led a contingent of heavily armed Panthers into the California State Capitol building in Sacramento to demonstrate their opposition to a proposed law that would have restricted the right to carry loaded weapons on the streets. Look at what they did. A bunch of armed brothers showed up. Like we showed up, armed brothers showed up. Why? They were protesting them trying to restrict the right to open carry. And to this day, you can't open carry in California, nowhere in California. Yet we were in Georgia where you can legally open carry. But I'll tell y'all this, after we left, they started talking about how can we change the law? And if people was like, nope, if people said, nope, you're not going to do that, because when the white boys do it, y'all don't say shit. Y'all saw the videos, white boys walking around all past the cops, nodding with the cops and shit. You didn't know what was going on. In Richmond last week, they caught three white dudes dressed like cops, walking around with their vests on, khakis, with these little side holsters with twisty ties. You know what the twisty ties are used for when you got to lock up a gang of motherfuckers, right? And they riding around in a goddamn Ram 150 and shit. They was going to pick somebody up so they could lynch them. Let me help y'all out. The way that you lynch somebody real quick is you grab a motherfucker and throw him in the back of the bed of one of those big-ass trucks. Get the rope around his neck, drive the truck right up under the tree. Ain't nobody looking. Stand the fuck up, throw that bitch over, yoke this nigga, and drive off. That's how they're doing it, and it's quick. But they got arrested. You see what I'm saying? So it's ironic. You're right, in 66, that was their moment. But this is our moment right here, and history will record. When the whole thing flipped over was when them brothers got together and everybody caught on, because now it's everybody. You see what I'm saying? You got the brothers down in Louisiana that walked up on them with the whole squad. Everybody had their weapons. You got the brothers out in Oklahoma that went out there because Trump was going to come out there on Juneteenth, came out there with the heat. Everywhere you look now is about buying weapons, learning how to be a responsible gun owner, getting your carry concealed, learning how to shoot. And when Karen or Carl or whoever the fuck they is that want to walk up to you and say something to you, why you being black, your answer is motherfucker what?
That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead, Rome. It's your turn. My bad. You know I keep going, man.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good, bro. This is my only question I got. are you open to building with our generation that we had that's in the streets?
Let me tell you, something. I mean? I'm glad you asked that, my brother, because a lot of people don't know. And see, like I said, media don't want to give us no credit. But one of our goals is the empowering of the young folks. The young folks are the key because they're the ones that have to carry this forward after we gone. You understand what I'm saying? We the triple OGs, bro. Don't let my looks fool you. I'm almost 60 years old. I shouldn't have had to come off the bench for this. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm back in the game, but I'm not trying to stay in the game. I got to get a game to y'all. So what we've done, there's two sides to the NFAC. Mm-hmm. There's the side that y'all saw that's the soldiers in the street. You understand what I'm saying? And sisters. Y'all seen the sisters out there with us. We don't discriminate. Anybody can shoot and shoot well. My entire security team is women. And they don't play. They fine, but they'll fuck you up. That's how I like it. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, we realize that our soldiers is already in the streets. The gang members are our security force. The young brothers that's out here selling and slaying. Now, y'all cut that short. We rebuilding our community. We're going to have it so y'all take care of everybody. That's one of the reasons why I hooked up with the Black Riders. If you don't know who the Black Riders are out in L.A., the Black Riders got jurisdiction over the Bloods and the Crips and the GDs. You understand what I'm saying? Then I got my boys down. I got young cats down in Florida who got connections to the Jamaican voodoo posses and all them cats that's not on paper. You understand what I'm saying? There's two sides to the NFAC. There's the side that can have a conversation with the police because we legal, but then we got a whole nother side that's not on paper. You understand what I'm saying? That's where we pulling a lot of the young cats from the street who still in that gang life, but we trying to bring them in up under us. We trying to get a game to them. So when we left Stone Mountain, we went down to the Wendy's where them young boys was at. That was down there guarding, you know, trying to guard the little memorial and all that bullshit. And the cops done gave up on them and pretty much left them to guard their own neighborhood. When they saw all of us roll up, they was like, man, we took y'all so long to get here. And they wanted us to show them, how do you do a patrol? How do you carry a weapon? What's the best way to do this? How do they wanted instruction, and we gave that to them. And y'all saw what happened after we left, because Rayshard Brooks' sister asked us to be her security escort down to some rally. So we left. What happened? Y'all just saw they arrested the little teenage boy. That little boy wasn't with us. He didn't even look like us. He was just a regular kid in the neighborhood who had a gun that he shouldn't have had. And even now he's saying that the people that did the shooting look like us, like they had masks on. So we don't really know what happened down there after we left, but we know that we didn't do that shit. And we know them young boys needed instruction. So one of the things that we're pushing right now, like we hear us tell people all the time, instead of buying Jordans, buy a gun. Go to a range. Learn how to get comfortable with your weapon. Then on top of that, go and try to get a carry concealed. Buy yourself, in this order, buy yourself a shotgun, buy yourself a semi-automatic, and then buy yourself a pistol. Here's why. Getting a pistol is the hardest thing to do. So if you can't get the pistol, you still got something to fall back on. Y'all feel what I'm saying to you? Everybody need to be strapped up. Everybody need to be armed up. Everybody need to be policing themselves. Everybody need to be looking out for each other. And we got to stop hating each other. And the young cats are the ones that we're trying to impress the most. Because when we're gone, y'all got to carry on.
Facts.
I totally agree. Like, I carry a gun for a living. You know what I'm saying? So, like, everything that you speaking on, you know what I mean? Like, I totally agree with. And me, myself, all the young cats that I run into, I tell them how I did it. You know what I'm saying? I did it. Like I just signed up to get my Utah license. You know what I'm saying? So I'm on it too.
Right.
You know what I mean? I totally agree.
And you got to be the example, because I'm gonna tell you something. Let me tell y'all guys something. I got over 115,000 new followers in a week, and a lot of them talk to me, because you all know, if you ever tune into Facts Over Feelings, or you ever tune into The Morning Mental, I'm not just a militant. I'm a teacher, okay? And when I teach, a lot of people, they can't put the two together. They'll sit there and hear me talk about, you know, the goodness of the Most High, and hear me exegete some of these scriptures, and they hear me break down some of these practical applications so that we can understand who we truly are. And they say, oh, that's my teacher. But then the next minute, they watch their teacher become Shaka Zulu and become a complete goddamn fool. And they go like, oh, shit. So that makes them say, you know what? I can learn something from this brother. So they in my inbox, a lot of them are young brothers who didn't have fathers in the home. A lot of these are young men who didn't have a blueprint, a lot of them are saying, now, this is what I'm talking about. Can you give me some pointers?
Yeah.
On how to be and grow into a man? So I'm connected with that group because I'm connecting with the group because I'm showing them that it's okay to be black and masculine and strong and walk with your head up and have your crown. And if you got any questions, if you ain't got a big bruh, I'm your big bruh. If you ain't got a father, I'll be your father figure. If you got a question that don't nobody around you seem strong enough to want to answer, I'll answer it for you. And if you need somebody to come stand in the post for you, give NFAC a call. We're not fucking around.
Talk that shit, bro. I'm not mad at that, man. Let me ask you this. For those brothers and sisters out there that got felonies and can't own a firearm, is there a place for them in fact?
Absolutely. If anybody watches the video of us moving up to Stone Mountain, you saw armed people first. Then you saw a whole bunch of people who were wearing black, but they had no weapons. Mm-hmm. Those can shoot, we still have, and those of us that are ex-military, anybody who served in the military knows this, you can't just have guns. You got to have support. You got to have backup. You got to have medics. You got to have computer programs. You got to have, you know, you got to have support people. So there's always something to do. But let me give you this part right here. One of the reasons we have so many felons with us is because when you join NFAC, we try to help you get your rights restored, if they can be restored. If you have a federal felony, it takes a pardon from the president. That's pretty much a lost cause right now with who's in the White House. You know what I'm saying? So we can't do nothing but that, but you can still run with us as long as you don't touch no heat. But if you have one felony, in some states, most people don't know that once you served your time or
you get that expunged.
It's automatic, not expunged. Watch this. Once you served your time and once you don't owe any money for restitution, your rights are automatically restored. You get a document called a CERV, which is a CERV, which is a certificate that says you're good to go. You just have to take that document and fill out an application. Wow. Your rights are restored, but they never tell these people that. You'd be surprised how many people have come to us saying, I'd like to join, but I got a felony. And we checked and found out, not only is your shit years ago, your rights is already restored. Well, why they ain't tell me that? Because they don't want black people arming themselves. But if you got multiple felonies, then you can, and we can't get all that cleaned up for you, then we got a job for you. We know that this is not our fault. We know that the judicial system is lopsided against us. Don't forget the 13th Amendment to the Constitution says, lest no man be a slave, lest he be a criminal. So they know once they put you in a system, they can treat you like a slave and take your rights away. And they do that to us disproportionately. We're only 12, 13% of the population, yet we 45% of the prison population. Come on, y'all. Don't that sound like something wrong with this picture?
Yeah, I would agree.
So we don't hold that against you. We don't hold that against you that you have a felony, but we do have standards. There are certain things that if you've done, you can't roll with us. For instance, if you've been found guilty of raping a child, you can't come around us, okay?
Understood.
You've been found guilty of domestic abuse where you murdered somebody, you can't come around us. Understood. If you've been certified being crazy than a June bug and it's on paper, you can't come around us.
Definitely, you know what understood. I with you on that 135%, bro. And I have never seen Shalom so many times as I have today in the YouTube chat, man. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat. Don't forget to subscribe to the show too. Wow, man. Who's protecting you?
I have I got three teams. I have, matter of fact, it's funny you mentioned that because somebody asked me the other day. They said, I noticed that when you have a bunch of women around you, your closest guards are women. Aren't you afraid? I said, obviously, you don't know your history. Y'all went to see the movie Black Panther, didn't you? Yeah, we saw the movie. Did you ever wonder why he had all those women around him? No, we just thought they was trying to be cute. Wrong. You see, if you know anything about that, that's an ancient African tradition. Those women known as the Dora Minaj are his sworn bodyguards, but they're also potential queens to give heir to the throne. You see, the king can only come through the woman that has been chosen as the queen. They are dedicated to give their lives, but they're the queens of other kingdoms. They all have their own kingdoms. Every one of my personal guard have their own shit going on. You understand what I'm saying? Every one of my personal guard are ex-military and sworn to the death for me. That's the requirement for you to be. Not only that, every great leader that we've ever had died while being protected by men. So y'all saw New Jack City. Ain't nobody walking around behind me talking about I'm gonna be the next king. Ain't no woman thinking that. Then on top of that, I got another team. That's my EP team. They are just what, if you don't know what an EP team is, do your research. It's a wet works team. They are paid mercenaries. They're not from the United States. They go anywhere in the world.
You understand? I don't know what happened, but it just like just went out that for like 12 seconds.
Then I have another team from that team. So if you saw me moving through the formation in Stone Mountain, you saw waves of people. They weren't randomly placed. They all have a function. So that's my security team. Y'all, if you know anything about me, I got three Dobermans that go everywhere I go, and they not no puppies. They 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah, man. I'm not sure what's going on, but like just all of them, like as soon as you get to cooking, man, they start fucking with your audio.
I don't fuck with me until the weed come out. When the weed come out, they come in the room because they got a nose. They just like the DEA. They come in, somebody got some weed in this motherfucker, and they come out. If one of y'all come to the house and you got something in your pocket, you're going to walk up and, brother, what you going to do about that? You get what I'm saying? The other one going to drop an L at your feet. Let's twist. I'm going to say, yo, meet the dogs. But no, I keep them around of the simple fact that I want to make it very, like Biggie said, I ain't saying I can't be got. It's just going to be hard as fuck.
Yeah, no doubt. We don't need that to happen, bro. And another thing, man, just if you listening, too many of our motherfucking leaders, and I'm not sure if you can't hear all of us, let me know, because I know, King, your audio has been going in and out for about the last 5 minutes a little bit. I'm sorry, I got caught looking at the comments and somebody didn't like that question. I get what you're saying, but you may be right on that one, Shanita. Shout out to you. So it's only GMG. Yeah, okay. So it's only Grandmaster J. Only your audio has been going in and out. Like I said, that's been for about 5 minutes.
So watch this. If my audio is going in and out, it's because every time that happens, someone is trying to call me. That's what
okay.
So let your audience know, because you can imagine my inbox stays blowed up. People are calling me from all over the world, and even while we're doing this, so I'm terminating those calls. And when those calls come in, that's a fallacy of Zoom. It mutes the sound because it thinks you're going to take a call. So if you don't hear me, I'll be happy to repeat it again.
Okay, that's dope. That's dope, man. Like, how do you sleep, man? How do you deal with all this? I don't want to be called 5 times in a day. I can't imagine getting called 5 times in an hour, in 10 minutes. How do you deal with the sheer time of it all?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't. My days start with the morning mental, which of course is a show that I do, 8 to about 8, 9, 10. And then after that, it's phone calls all day. It's internet interactions all day. It's interviews all day. There's meetings with my teams all day. Not to mention, we still go to the range and shoot on the regular. There's still the screening of people. There's no break. And I think that the quarantine prepared a lot of us to sleep when we're tired. Remember, they destroyed our schedule. The quarantine destroyed everybody's schedules. You know how you try to keep your same schedule, then you realize this was the weekend that never ends. Nigga, sleep when you're tired. But if you want to have structure in your life, you have to sleep at some time. So I sleep when I can. It's been very hectic. This last couple of weeks has just been, ever since we did the fourth, you can imagine, I really don't get a whole lot of sleep. But thank you to my handlers, thank you to my managers, thank you to my guards and everybody that make me get some sleep, that turn off the phone, take the phone from me, turn off the computers, lock the door, you know what I'm saying, and stick me in a room. And even when I get in the room, there's somebody talking about I've been waiting on you. I'm like, I can't get no sleep up in here. I got to go somewhere else. I got to go slide in there with the dogs and slide over, and the dogs say, you brought some weed? No, nigga, I got to go somewhere else to try to get some sleep. Fucking Mac Brian, I gotta go sleep in my goddamn car because I can't get no peace nowhere. But no, I'm telling you the truth. I say this to everybody. You're never gonna see a movie called Jesus. The first 33 years, they never talk about that time before he started healing people and, you know, feeding people and giving sight to the blind. You never hear about the 33 years before that. You know what I'm saying? You just hear about what he did, Yeshua, when he, you know, started. So for me, I say this to everybody. When it's your time to walk in your purpose, you had all the rest you was going to get. Okay? When it's time for you to walk in the purpose that Yah has positioned for you, you're going to miss them days. I miss the days when I didn't have a whole lot to do. I do. But I also know that he wouldn't put this on me if it was not my purpose to make it happen. That's why I tell y'all, don't trip when I talk about me being gone. Because if that's my destiny, there's nothing I can do to get out of it. But if it's on some stupid shit, it's y'all fault. Because they're only going to kill me if y'all left.
Well, let's I can't even get the shit out. Let's not let that happen. Did I say that correctly? We need you around as long as fuck. How about that? I think that's clearer. You know, do you have like somebody in mind that you prefer to take over if that ever happens?
I have a philosophy that we utilize in NFAC just like anywhere else. We don't raise followers, we raise leaders. There's always somebody to take my place. This is not like the 60s where they chopped off the heads of everybody and everybody else was lost. Exactly. Trust and believe, I have several backups. Y'all don't know who they are, and that way they can't become a target. But should I decide to move off the scene, there's somebody who'll slip right into my place that thinks like I do, walks like I do, talks like I do, that I handpicked to be my predecessors.
Oh, and if people want to donate to the movement, how do they do that?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, my brother. Look, check this out. One of the things that I made real clear about InFact, because we're basing our philosophy on, if you've ever read Claude Anderson's Powernomics, that we practice group economics within the NFAC. All our money goes into ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? We consolidate our finances. Some of us wealthy, some of us not so wealthy, but we together collectively have a huge pot. So we don't accept donations, and we never have. And people say, well, I want to help out some way. The way that you can help out is to honor what we're doing by making your community safe. The way you can help out is by practicing what we preach, community policing, ensuring that we keep hold of our stopping gentrification, protecting our kids from pedophiles, raising the flag, stop standing around being a spectator every time you see something. That's how you help us out. And the reason I say that is because look at what happened to Nick Cannon. The moment you say something wrong and your money is coming from somewhere else, they can snatch that from you, or you owe them something. And most people don't know this. Do your research. Debt is slavery. As long as you're in debt to somebody, you owe them something. You are a slave. Back in the day when you had a debt that you couldn't pay, you had to work it off. Peonage. Y'all remember that? Remember, you go out to eat and you couldn't pay, you could wash dishes. You had to work it off. We don't accept donations because we don't want anybody to say, I put money into that, so y'all got to do what I say. No, we straight. We're self-contained, self-financed. We all right.
Man, that's fucking dope, man. I don't think I've ever heard anything like that. And yeah, I think somebody must be calling you again. Yeah, I gotta stop calling, man. We got like 10 more minutes.
They're blowing, they want to move you out the way, but I'm with you right now.
Right, you know, like we got 10 minutes, bro. Like, come on, son.
We here until we hear. You understand what I'm saying? We ain't going
right. Okay, talk your shit, bro. I love to hear that, man. Oh wow, man. Are you familiar? New Era Detroit, dope ass group. Just a couple of organizations I came across over the years that've been doing their thing. The People's Action in Detroit, phenomenal. 300 Gangsters in Baltimore.
300 Gangsters. That's a fact, man.
Yeah, you know. Shout out.
And I bring those up because, you know, you got a hell of a platform, and those are people that like I would be like, okay, I would fuck with. You know, I'm just old. I just had a heart attack. Life ain't that gravy for me right now. When I'm back on my feet, my brother,
let me help you out.
I'm with you.
You still here. Life is always great as long as I can talk to you. I got a lot of people I can't talk to no more. So life is great for you.
Tell me about that, bro. I got a lot of people I can't talk to either. Again, since we only got, I don't know how long you're going to be around, but let people know where they can get in contact if they want to join. And off the for the record, for those who did not just hear, they ain't taking no money, ain't no Cash App, ain't no PayPal, ain't no GoFundMe, ain't no nothing. They ain't taking shit. Go figure. You know where you hear that at? Anyway, for people that want to join, let them know how to get in contact with you.
If you want to join the NFAC and you meet the requirements, and I'll tell you what those requirements are, we prefer you be ex-military, but that's okay if you're not. Either you own weapons already that you are proficient with, you have a carry concealed already, or you can get one, and that you are 21 years of age and older, and you must be Black. I'm going to make it clear here so don't nobody get their feelings hurt. If you are not Black, you cannot join the NFAC. We are going to be one organization that's just for our people, by our people, for our people. We can't never have none without everybody else wanting to jump on board. Not this time. So to my brothers and sisters who are concerned about protecting our communities and willing to defend it, if you meet those qualifications, then you go to info@blacknfac.com. That's an email address, not a web address. You cannot get into our website. We're not all wide open like that. We learned our lessons from COINTELPRO and Operation Black Messiah. We know there's people that look like me that want to infiltrate us and tear us down because they're happy in their captivity. We're not that stupid. So if you want to join us, you submit your contact information to info@blacknfac.com and tell us these things that I just asked. I'm either this, I'm that, I got this, I got that, I ain't got no problem. If you got felonies, tell us then. Then we'll know whether or not we can work with you. Then we have a vetting process that you'll go through. And then if you're accepted, we then reach out to you and let you know where you're going to fit in. If you want to keep up with what I'm doing, I don't do a Facebook. I have a Twitter account, but I can't talk. I got shut up years ago because I said something wrong. So the only place you can find, I know, bro, it's a band for life, bro. But if you
damn, want for Twitter, life,
for life, okay.
I didn't know Twitter had a for life option. Damn, bro.
People ask me, well, what did you say? What did you do? I'll tell you what I did. I was in a conversation a few years ago, and we was talking about Black power and Black people and, you know, Black Egypt and all of this good stuff. And some white guy stuck his nose in the conversation and called me the N-word, right? I told him, first of all, I want nobody talking to you. And second of all, you need to watch what you say because you can lose your life behind that. He was one of them keyboard gangsters that said, how are you going to do that? You can't even find me. And I broke down how I would find him. Ooh. See, what he did not know was one of my jobs in the military was satellite communications. And if it's one thing I know how to do is triangulate a signal to find out where the phone is and then find out the coordinates of the phone and then zoom in on the location and then pull up. And whoever got the phone, you a dead motherfucker. When I did that, Twitter said, oh, shit. No. You are banned for life, okay? The white dude didn't say shit else after that. I was sitting there staring at his phone like, oh, shit, right? Because wow. You know everything about me and anybody who's watching, we the pull-up masters. We will pull up on you. We don't talk over the internet. We don't hide behind a keyboard. That's another thing about what happened at Stone Mountain. We showed up. We pulled up. And that's something a lot of people have not done. So everybody out here running their mouth, when you start pulling up, we'll talk to you as equals. But until then, you got to match our example because we're leading by example. We're leading, showing you how to do it. So if anybody want to get at me, you can reach me on Instagram at the official Grandmaster J. I'm going to let you know now, it's private. Which means if you show up with some crazy looking profile, not only are we going to deny you, we're going to block you for life because we know there's trolls out there, white supremacists and racists that just want to come on there and talk shit from a distance. We shut all that down. If you want to get at me, you can reach me there on Instagram, on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, The Real Grandmaster J, where you can go and see videos of all the stuff that's going on. Other than that, you can also reach me on my website at thegrandmasterj.com, which is the old hip hop site. And for those of y'all who just ain't got nothing better to do and want to read that I had for the presidential campaign, that site is still up. OnlyWeCanFixUs.com. I'm not hidden. You can get at me on SoundCloud. Get at me on Reverb Nation. Get at me in some type of way. Or you can just wait till I come to your city. because we're coming for the recruitment tour to stand up all these chapters in just about every black city that there is.
That's dope, man. That is dope right there. And shout out to Urema, man. That's my guy, man. Solid brother, and man, that cat loves black.
Let me tell you about my brother Urema. Urema and I, you know, we boys. You know, we boys. We actually are friends outside of the activism world. When he heard about the formation, he called me up the night before. He says, "Hey, bro, I'm coming down there with you. I'm bringing my team. I'm coming down." I'm like, "Okay, not a problem. Let's do it." And you know, a lot of people said that, but didn't show up. You understand what I'm saying? He rolled up with his squad, got out with his people, his girl, everybody. I'm thinking they just coming, you know, just to film. No, they getting out. I'm like, "Oh, okay. I see how we rolling." And that brother rolled with us. And there's something a lot of people need to understand. There was two pieces. The first piece was for the public. You know, all the people out there spectating, the streets blocked up, everybody doing photo ops. That's cool. But when I told everybody where we were going and that we were probably going to have some trouble, the public didn't go. But y'all did. He went with us, went the whole 2.5 miles. It's 2.5 miles to get to the mountaintop. He went with us. Okay, so that's my brother from another mother. Love him to death. If y'all not watching, Urema Karima on IG, he lays it down on the regular. Matter of fact, he says that I'm his teacher, but I love to tune in to hear that brother teach too.
No doubt, man. And definitely wanted to say, man, we appreciate you so much, bro, for coming on the show tonight, man. It has been an honor and a privilege, and this is a home for you, man. Because I know how it is, man. Niggas in black media, man, ain't no different than some of their counterparts. And we ain't never been on that shit, man. So had we known beforehand, we would have had you on the show. During, we would have had you on the show. And immediately after, we ain't them other motherfuckers, bro.
Hey, listen, like my man Yuck Mouth said, Yuck came on and laid it down flat. He criticized all them bros, but at the end of the day, my man Roland Martin reached out to me, which surprised me to have me on his show, because he actually saw the video, so he wanted to talk about it. And then, of course, my man over at Black Diamond TV over in Europe, you know, but the main black media, still, they talk around it.
Yeah.
But they won't talk about it, because it's incriminating to them.
Yeah, and then they got to own up to the shit that they actually say on air, too.
Right.
Absolutely.
But look, I thank y'all for having me. I'm glad that I could be here. Like I said, I'm willing to chop it up with my brothers, because everybody's got an audience that need to know that. Look, we all on one accord. And what we're doing, you need to be doing. Be inspired. Defend yourself. Educate yourself. You know, we didn't get into the whole music thing, but you heard Speak to the Nation, which was done in 2015, which was ahead
fucking
of its
fire.
Time. Okay.
That was fire.
There's another joint, Boots, which is Black Overlook Outstanding True Sisters, which was the anthem to the sisters that we just did last year. We've been putting out this conscious black music for a minute, but we didn't change. The times changed. And now we fit into these times. So all of you folks out there that's sick and tired of being sick and tired, all of y'all who wondering when we're going to get an equal shake, all y'all got to do is adopt the same mentality that we got. And that is that we black, and we not fucking around. I bid y'all a shalom, and thank y'all for having me on the show.
Peace, King.
Peace.
Have a good one. Oh, and if this is your first time checking out the show, which odds are it was, there's some dope-ass motherfuckers making some really powerful music about us. Like I said before, Brick the Foundation is dope. Connie Sun is dope. Is it Miko Mac? I think Miko Mac is dope. Ed EB is dope. And he's just some cats that's out there actually talking about some shit that you might, you know, be interested in if you heard some of their music. So we try to, you know, just shout people out for no reason. Man, I'm telling you, I have never seen shalom this much in my life, man. I'm going to be saying shalom in my sleep.
Yo, my cousin is saying shalom, man. Yo, shout out to her, man. Shalom. Shalom to all. Yo, shalom to everybody tuned in, man.
No doubt, man. And definitely subscribe to the channel. We got over 5 years worth of doing this shit. So, and we got everybody. We got a fucking resume. Check our shit out. Anyway, I am Jobs, and that is The Plug. And you have been tuned into My Skin Is My Sin presents Intellectually Petty Radio. And we, give your shout outs, bro. I forgot to tell you that.
Big shout out to Grandmaster Jay, know, NFAC. Shout out Keys Development. Big shout out to 300 Gangsters, man. Follow me on IG as Driving for Perfection _43. Check us out tomorrow. We got the water cooler popping. We got Raz Kaz on next week, yo. That show's gonna be fire.
Best pen right in now. The best pen in hip hop. I'm just putting it out there. Ever. The best pen in hip hop. Just my bad. Go ahead, bro.
Big shout out to Raz Kaz, yo. And yo, thank you to everybody who tuned in, man. Share our shit. Subscribe to the YouTube and check us out the bar, man. Peace.
No doubt. And that's 9 o'clock right here on the YouTube channel and the Facebook channel. And shout out to Capadonna. He was supposed to come on. I'm not sure what happened. But he unfortunately had to cancel a lot of stuff. So praying for you and your family, King. And hopefully we can make that up at a later date. All right. And we out. Peace, fam.
Peace.
Oh, don't forget to check out mrochelle.com. And this shirt that I'm wearing, My Skin Is My Sin, you can catch that on liberationmindedmedia.com. And that's a better. Bam, bam. Yeah, it's pretty dope. It's only $20. All right, we out. Peace.